You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up tonight after 7, it's storytelling on Snap Judgment. Tonight's theme, you can sound human, you can look human, but what happens when you take a hard look inside and realize you're missing something? That's tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
First, as police departments around the country and in Wisconsin grapple with the challenge of building trust between officers and the communities they serve, particularly minority communities, some law enforcement officials are turning to the city of Darlington in southwestern Wisconsin.
Sergeant Tony Rezga recently spoke at the 21st Century Policing Conference at UW-Platteville about the unique efforts he took to build trust and understanding in the city of Darlington. When a company called Mexican Cheese Producers came to Darlington about 15 years ago, a substantial influx of new Latino residents followed.
As the community faced new struggles centered around race and culture, Rezga instituted an open-door policy for Latinos. He helped foster community events, helped arrange oil changes for Spanish speakers, and started a Latino basketball team. Rezga says building a relationship of trust is ongoing, but it's one that can pay off when it comes to fighting and solving crime.
Sergeant Tony Rezga joins us now. He's a 16-year veteran of the Darlington Police Department. In 2010, he received the Police Officer of the Year Award from the 3rd District of the American Legion for his work in the community with the growing Hispanic population in Darlington and southwestern Wisconsin. Sergeant Rezga, welcome to Central Time.
Welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, when Mexican cheese producers came to town 15 years ago to Darlington, what changed?
Well, we started seeing a great influx of Hispanics coming to our area for opportunities for work, not only at Mexican cheese, but also within the dairy farms. And so we started seeing a lot of migration into the city.
And at that time, what kinds of struggles were you seeing as the maybe the residents who had already been there, I'm assuming presumably white residents, and the new Hispanic residents came together?
Well, there was definitely conflicts. I mean, and none of that has completely ended, and I don't think that anybody could safely ever say that it will completely end. But what we were seeing is we were seeing conflicts between the cultures, and that is kind of what drove me to step in and hope to help curb some of those conflicts and bridge some of those gaps.
And tell us a little bit about what you did at that point. You didn't have necessarily any training for this sort of situation, but you did try some things that were new. What did you do?
Yeah, well, I mean, no actual training, but I did grow up in an immigrant family. My father was a immigrant from Mexico, and so I got to see firsthand the struggles that my father faced and our family faced through the different systems that were in place. So when I was here, being here in Darlington gave me a unique opportunity to help serve that community that was moving in quite at a rapid pace, and then serve the community that was already here. So some of the, things that I started popping in my head was just to get Hispanics involved in the community so they could be more part of the community and in fact claim ownership in their community. So some of the things that I did, I mean, the initial things, like people talk about the basketball team that I formed, well, that was simply to curb some issues that I was seeing in the bars with bar fights and things like that. There was a league, a city league, and some of the bars that members attended those city leagues. So forming the basketball team was just a way to get people to meet the Hispanics, and that in return kind of helped curb some of those tensions in the bars, some of those racial tensions. And after I saw that there was some positive there, I thought, well, I think I'm onto something here.
I'm really curious about what that was like in the beginning, especially with this basketball team. You told me a little bit of this earlier when we spoke, and it sounds like the guys from the bars who were not used to seeing Hispanics in their bars became,
yeah.
They started to accept the Latinos who were there to play, and something new transpired between them. What were those first games like?
Yeah, well, the first games obviously were kind of new because Hispanics traditionally don't, perform, play basketball. I mean, there is basketball in Latin American countries and things like that, but the reality is that it's not a top sport. So getting the Hispanics convinced to participate was a chore. But I think that those original people actually saw it as an advantage to the bigger picture. And I don't think we ever won a game. I mean, it wasn't for that. I participated myself so they could see that I could be part of that group and kind of mesh that bridge, you know, kind of build that bridge between the two. And then what I started to see was more of the Caucasians become friends with these people and with Hispanics and with whatever other ethnicity started joining us. You know, because there are different cultures that we've experienced just here in Darlington. We've had people from Peru. We've had people from Honduras. We have people from Mexico, which all have different cultures and all have different customs. And that kind of just started meshing together. And it slowly but surely solved that some of those issues, those tensions in the bars.
We're talking right now with Sergeant Tony Rezga. He's a 16-year veteran of the Darlington Police Department in southwestern Wisconsin. And he's been speaking lately about what he helped to do in Darlington, which is forming this positive relationship between police and, at the time, Hispanic community, Latino community, adding more people to that umbrella over the years in Darlington there. And you mentioned that your father was an immigrant. He'd been deported several times when you were younger. How did that experience inform your approach in Darlington?
It was very difficult for us when I was a child. My father was actually deported 39 times. We used to live in Texas, so it was a lot different than up here in Wisconsin. And the times were different in the 70s. It was just different times. So the very difficult times. Every time he was deported, and he was our primary source of income. So waiting, you know, and hoping that he'd be able to come back and those kind of things. My mother is an American citizen, and obviously we were, but we were a family of five, and we depended on his ability to work and support us. So those times were very difficult. So I got to see firsthand the system at play and what that did to families.
Did you ever get pushback within your own ranks, the police ranks, for maybe going outside the box with this? I mean, I know, for instance, one of the things you did was you brought in a lawyer to talk to the Hispanic community about immigration issues. Did anyone ever say, you know what, this is too much?
No. Actually, that's probably been the main help that has contributed to the success, I guess, in Darlington. Is we have not gotten back blow from, especially from our department. The good thing is that we've had a strong leadership throughout, and I think they recognized that, you know, barring people's personal emotions and personal feelings towards immigration and those things, we have a fundamental right to serve all people within our city and within our country. And I think that's where we strive. And I think that's what's helped us here in Darlington be successful. So, no, I didn't get much back blow that way. I also, you know, was given some freedoms, especially as I began to take on this role. Initially, you know, I was a night officer, so I didn't have a lot of recourse. But as I began to promote throughout the department and become a supervisor and having a younger supervisor myself, we were able to be forward thinkers and think a little bit ahead of times and be proactive with the population and the people in general.
Now, I know that you've been approached sometimes by other police forces who say, I want what you have there in Darlington. What's the secret recipe? What do you tell them?
Well, and that, especially now, it seems that within the last month or so, I've really been receiving a lot of attention because of the conference at UW-Platteville. But the reality is that there is no secret recipe. I've gone to several communities to speak where they've, you know, have some issues, and the main issue, I would say, is trust. And I honestly believe that just like Chief Noble Ray stated at the conference, that trust is a journey that there's never an end to. You really can never get to the end of that. You can never actually reach that journey. And the reality is that's the truth. It's a very cumbersome thing, and trust is I gain trust the same way I lose trust. One day you're helping someone, and the next day you may have to effect an arrest on a family member, and all of a sudden you've lost everybody that you've built trust with for months or even years. The key is being fair, being consistent, keeping your ducks in a row, and being honest with people, even though that honesty may not be what they wanted to hear.
We're talking right now with Sergeant Tony Rezga. He's a 16-year veteran of the Darlington Police Department in southwestern Wisconsin, and he's credited with helping to build a positive relationship between police and the Hispanic community over the years in Darlington.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're from the Darlington area, have you seen this in action? How has it influenced the community there? And for people around the state, have you seen similar efforts to build bridges between the locals and the new immigrant community, whether that's from Latin America, Southeast Asia, or wherever in the world? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Police Sergeant Tony Rezga is with us now. He's a 16-year veteran with the Darlington Police Department. That's in southwestern Wisconsin. And he's joining us to talk about his work building trust between the police force and the community it serves.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you yourself are from Darlington or that area, have you seen this approach at work? How have things changed for better? What could still be done? And for people anywhere in the state, what do you see happening for better or worse, building police community relationships, especially with minority communities? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Sergeant Rezga, you've said that you're always preparing for the day that a police-involved shooting happens. So how do you prepare for something like that?
Well, I don't think you can prepare actually for the event, but what I prepare for is this community support. I think that's key. I pray to God that never occurs here, but the reality is that, you know, some situations require fast acting decisions and quick thought and relying on training and those kind of things. But when it's all said and done, I mean, it's never easy on any side when somebody has to take someone's life or injure someone or anything like that, especially if you're a police officer who, you know, goes to work to do a job. And that's one of the things with police is we are here to do a job, a function in the community. And so that's a big responsibility. And I mean, there is obviously on the other side, I mean, you're having to deal with family members and community leaders and those kind of things. So I think strengthening your relationship with your community can prepare you for those things, how to better serve that community in case something like this happens, so you can hear the other side. And since you've had a strong working relationship with them, there won't be a lot of blame game going on. There will be more of how can we make sure this doesn't happen again. We've done this, but we can do this and we can do that. And so that's kind of where I say I prepare. And we're very proactive here, trying to build a relationship, a positive relationship. Like I said, building trust is not that easy. You know, like you said earlier, talking to communities that basically call me and want some kind of outline on how to go about doing that. It isn't written anywhere. And the reality is what works in one community may not work in another. But what has worked for us is patience and determination and passion. I have a passion to serve the people, and I have a patience to serve the people. And my whole goal is to serve. So I work in many facets, not only the police department, as a service-based individual. You got to find those individuals to help build that relationship and trust within the community. Like I said, there, I mean, you could find people within the community that do not like me and probably do not trust me. I'm still working on those people. And the thoughts are to always be working toward building that trust and being open-minded about it and being able to accept that maybe some of the things that you've tried didn't work and now you've got to change it, but actually listening to the community.
Do you have any advice for police departments that are struggling with this? I'm thinking of some of the tensions that boiled over in Milwaukee's Sherman Park neighborhood, and not just there, but around the country. I know you say it's individual and it takes passion, but are there any specific things that someone could do if they wanted to get going on this right now?
I think finding the person that is passionate about it, and not, it doesn't necessarily need to be someone. I mean, I've been asked, you know, do we need to hire a Hispanic officer? Do we need to hire, you know, somebody who speaks Spanish or someone? No, I don't think that that's the answer. I don't think you necessarily need to have a Hispanic officer patrolling Hispanic people. I don't know if that, I mean, to me, that doesn't make the most sense because there aren't a whole lot of Hispanic officers. In Southwest Wisconsin, I don't think there's any but myself. But so I don't think that that's the solution. I honestly think that the solution is to find someone who's passionate to be involved and who truly understands community-oriented policing, which means what is in the best interest of the community as a whole. I've always kind of, as a law enforcement officer, and especially into my later years, probably within the last decade, I have really set my mind to believe in the 97% to 3% rule. And what I mean by that is 97% of the populations, and I don't care what population you're talking about, any type of people in any type of profession, are good people that sometimes make mistakes. 3% of the population are just wired wrong, and I think those are the population that, you know, law enforcement needs to deal with. So the key for me has been not to treat the 97% of the people as 3% of the people, to treat
Sergeant Rezga, thank you so much for joining us. That was Sergeant Tony Rezga, 16-year veteran of the Darlington Police Department.